In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month of Abib. And as we saw last month, the month of Bu'una was all centered about the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. And this week it continues this theme as once the Holy Spirit works in the church, then the people or the Christians or the disciples should be sent into the world to preach the gospel. And we notice here the first thing that the Lord Christ tells his disciples to do when they go preach is say to the house what? Peace be to you, right? Peace to this house. So the first message that a Christian should be preaching is a message of peace, a message of peace. And actually, if you want to look at it, the peace should be and is the trademark of the Christian faith. The Christians should be known for their peace. And oftentimes when we hear a sermon or we hear talks about peace, we think about it, and even when we read in Scripture, we say, this is very nice. This is nice. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. This is very nice. But you know, to be a peacemaker or to bring peace is actually extremely difficult. Sometimes it can be very wrenching. Sometimes it could be very emotionally taxing. If you ever tried to reconcile two people together, you know what I'm referring to. So the reality is that it's difficult, and also sometimes bringing peace doesn't work. Sometimes we fail at bringing peace. That's why St. Paul was very clear when he told us in his letter to the Romans. He says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So he says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because living in peace requires at least two individuals. I can do my part and live in peace, but maybe if the other person doesn't want to live in peace, then I can't control that. So he says, as much as depends on you. As Christians, we are called to build bridges of peace between one another. And as I mentioned, the reward of this is that we'll be called sons of God. As the Lord said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, sons of God should be you and I, the Christians. That's what the word Christian means. Christ, I-A-N, are the people, or the people of Christ. So they should know us by the peace that we bring and share. So what are some of the methods that we can employ to become peacemakers or to be agents of peace in this world? Before I speak about the methods, let me just go mention a couple of misconceptions about peacemaking. Number one, peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. Peacemaking is not the absence of conflict. Christ himself said that he came to bring conflict. Listen to what he says in Matthew. He says, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So actually, Christ in this brief passage says that when he comes, he's coming to make three categories of conflict. The first category is the category between families. Why is he saying this? Because at the time, nobody is Christian. They're all Jew or Gentiles. The Jews don't like the Christians because they say that Christ isn't the Messiah. And the Gentiles, they don't like the Christians because they want to keep the authority, and maybe they're threatened by the Christian faith. So they'll be hated regardless. So in the beginning, and even now, sometimes the message of Christ will break the family. Or will say, okay, the two or three members of the family want to become Christians and two don't. So that's why he mentions this. The second category of conflict is the conflict of the cross. The conflict of the message of the cross. And most of humanity's understanding, and even for the most part in our society today, prosperity is looked at, or wealth is looked at, as something that is, that's how we know that God blesses us. But that is not the case. Christ never promised us wealth and riches in this world. But on the contrary, he told us that if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Right? The message of the cross is one of uncomfort. It's one of labor. It's one of maybe being humiliated. All of these things are a cross that we have to bear. If you recall the story of the rich young ruler who came to Christ and asked him what it is that he could do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord told him, okay, you know the commandments. And he said, I know them and I've kept them from my youth. You know what the Lord told him? He says, one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor. Come take up your cross and follow me. So this man's cross was his love for wealth. And he said, in order to come follow me, give up this cross and come after me and follow me. And unfortunately, he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. So although he had all the desire and the intent, but because he didn't bear his cross, he went away sorrowful and forfeited his opportunity of being a disciple of Christ. So when Christ comes, the message of the cross will often be a source of conflict for many. Also, conflict between one's own self. He said, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will find it. The ego will be a source of conflict. When I read scripture and I listen to the words of Christ, I'm often rebuked in my own self. I can either do one of two things. I can say scripture is right and I am wrong and I'll submit myself and repent, or I will say this doesn't make any sense, discard it and try to alter it. Some people try to do that. So Christ came to bring even conflict between ourselves, between our own ego. So making peace is not the absence of conflict. Being peacemakers is also is contrary to the avoidance of conflict. Sometimes we say, okay, avoiding conflict is being a peacemaker. We are never commanded in Scripture to avoid conflict. We are commanded to flee from certain sins. Flee from sexual immorality, flee from temptation, okay. But not fleeing from witnessing to the truth and what is true and the gospel. Also, peacemaking is not the appeasement of parties, is not simply being an appeaser. Making peace at all costs, even if it means committing sin or not standing up for the truth, I'll be a peacemaker at all costs. Peacemaking is not that. Also, peacemaking is not being passive, meaning anything is permissible. Or it could mean that I see the problem and I have a problem and I pretend as if the problem isn't even there. Being passive is not being a peacemaker. So what are some of the agents of peace, or what are some methods that we can employ to be agents of peace, or how can we be peacemakers? Number one, to be a peacemaker, we have to start off with prayer. We have to start with prayer. If you're in a conflict with someone, you start with prayer for yourself and for that person. If you're trying to mediate between two people that have a conflict, it should start with prayer. Why? Because when we pray to the Lord, it gives us perspective and it gives us tenderness. We put things in the perspective of God and eternity. So it puts things in the right order. And sometimes when we pray about things, we'll notice and we'll say, okay, no, this is really trivial. And the big picture of things, this is really trivial and it's not worth the argument and the dispute. So I'll go humbly and apologize. And that will be the end of it. So prayer gives us perspectives and gives us a bit of tenderness. If the conflict is maybe between two other individuals and I go in prayer, it will fill my heart with compassion for both, trying to reconcile the two of them in an unbiased manner. If the conflict involves myself, prayer will show me my part, even if it is very small. If I'm in a conflict or if I'm in a disagreement, prayer will show me my part, even if it's a little bit. Even if, you know, the husband was yelling and screaming and cursing, but my face and my attitude communicated, you know, something to annoy him even more. Maybe this little small part of my annoyance of him or disregarding him or disrespecting him in prayer this will be revealed to me. Also in prayer, we can surrender the conflict to the Lord. We can surrender the conflict of the Lord. Oftentimes we're met with certain, you know, conflicts or troubles, and we don't know the solution. And in prayer, we go to the Lord and says, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I want to bring peace between me and this other person or between these two individuals. I don't know. Give me wisdom. So we leave this, or we present it or surrender it to the Lord. First step, my beloved, is to pray. The second step is to take the first step. The second step is to take the first step. Again, oftentimes if I'm included in this or I'm part of the conflict, we'll say to ourselves, why should I take the first step? I wasn't wrong. The other person was wrong. They should come and apologize to me. My pride won't allow me to go to them if they have wronged me. And if I'm mediating between two people, sometimes the enemy will come and say to us and say, what does this have to do to you, with you? Or what does this have to do with me? This is their conflict. It's not my business. Why should I even be involved? And we end up taking the role of Cain. Taking the role of Cain. Remember when God came to Cain after he killed his brother? And he said, Cain, you know, where is your brother Abel? And you know what Cain said to him? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you're your brother's keeper. Yes. My beloved, none of us are going to heaven alone. And none of us are going to hell alone. We're going to be together, right? So yes, we are our brother's keeper. And our mission on this world is to bring as many of our brethren together to heaven as we can. So yes, we are. Listen to what the Lord commanded us. Remember when he told us and instructed us about bringing the gift in the altar, before the altar? He says what? If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Listen carefully to what it says. He doesn't say when you come to the altar and you remember that you offended someone. No. What does he say? That your brother has something against you. So meaning when you come bring your altar and you remember somebody has something against you, is upset with you for any reason, leave and go reconcile. So he's saying for us to do what? To take the first step. To take the first step even if you are innocent. Or even if your part of the problem is small. And then he also says, again in Matthew 18, he says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you will have gained your brother. So he's then, he says, if your brother sins against you, go to him. Go to him. So he tells us if we want to be peacemakers, oftentimes we have to take the first step. We have to take the first step. If nobody takes the first step, the conflict will never be resolved. And it will be end up, if we just sweep it under the rug, eventually the rug will explode from all of the conflict. Okay? Conflict is never solved accidentally. We have to do work. And then St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, gives us some other methods of being peacemakers. In Galatians chapter 6, he says what? Brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be also tempted. So he gives us three other ways in which we can be agents of peace or peacemakers. The first, he says about if a man is overtaken in any trespass. So he tells us, don't look at the sinner as an evil person, but as one who is being overtaken. One who is being overtaken. You know, person who's overtaken, it means what? Somebody who is defeated or who has been deceived before they can get away. It's as if what? Somebody is captured before they can realize what happened to them and get away. And exactly, any person who is caught in sin or sins against us, the enemy has caught him before he can get away. If we look at our brethren like this, as if they were being overtaken, we would have compassion, just as maybe somebody who is being overtaken and was bitten by an animal or a dog. We wouldn't look at somebody or a child who is being overtaken by a dog and bitten and look at them as being an evil person, but we'll look at them with compassion. So we shouldn't be disgusted by the person, because if we're disgusted and we avoid them, then certainly no peace will come about. At the same time, we don't want to meddle in another person's sin. What do I mean? When we're trying to be peacemakers, we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of the sin. We don't need to know the details, right? Sometimes we might get caught up with the details and find ourselves meddling with the sin. This is like somebody who's meddling with garbage, right? None of us really like, if we ever had to go through the garbage, we don't like it, we're disgusted by it, and we don't want to do it. So this is it. Just try to make peace without knowing and going into the details of sin. It's not necessary to make peace. Just like Christ did with the Samaritan woman. When he came to the Samaritan woman and he began to speak with her, and he wanted to reveal to her his sin, he said to her, "Go call your husband." And she said to him, "I have no husband." And he said, "You're right. You've had 5 husbands. One you have now is not your husband." And then this was the end of the story. Then she opened a discussion about worship, where one ought to worship. And Christ went with her and to where one ought to worship. Because Christ was not concerned much about her past and the garbage and the baggage that she had. But he was interested in who she could become. She could become an evangelist. So he began to talk to her about worship and the way one ought to worship in spirit and truth. He didn't meddle with the details of the 5 other husbands and the one she's with now and why she has him and what she was looking for. He didn't get into all of that. Don't look at the sinner as an evil person, but as being overtaken. The second thing St. Paul tells us or advises us is consider oneself. He says, consider yourself lest you also be tempted. Consider oneself, meaning what? That I also may be tempted. Maybe by the same sin. If not by the same sin, certainly I'm tempted by another sin. At the end of the day, we all have the sin that we're struggling with, right? So consider myself as a fellow sinner with that person. If I consider myself as righteous because I don't commit the same sin that this person commits, newsflash, we all have a certain sin. We all have sins that we commit. They just may not be the same. Considering my sins will help us to be peacemakers because we will deal with them with compassion and mercy. Then St. Paul says to them, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. In the spirit of gentleness. My beloved, oftentimes our reactions to conflict make the conflict worse. Sometimes we say we're not going to deal with the person at all. Sometimes we say we're going to set a distance between us and them. Sometimes we say we're going to warn our kids not to have anything to do with them or their children. Sometimes we say we're going to isolate them and make them feel the pain of isolation. Maybe they'll repent. But St. Paul tells us here that we should restore them and not isolate them within the spirit of gentleness and humility. When we come to speak, it should be with gentleness. You know, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us that a soft word or a soft response turns away wrath. If I'm able to keep my cool, and if I preceded it with prayer, this will be possible. If I'm able to keep my cool and speak gently and calmly to a person, this will turn away wrath and maybe lead to peace. The fifth method to make us agents of peace is to humble yourself, to humble yourself. And I think one of the best stories of this is in the Old Testament, the story of Abigail. If you're familiar with that story, Abigail was the wife of Nabal. He wasn't a very kind man. David and his men, who was, by the way, he was already king, but he was still running from Saul, found the shepherds of Nabal shepherding and shearing the sheep. The time of shearing is like the harvest. It's the time of wealth. So this is a great time, if there are any looters or robbers, to come and rob these men. So David and his men protected them during this time. He did them a favor. And then when David and his men became hungry, they went to Nabal and told him, "Could you spare us some food? Anything." And he said to, I don't know David, nor do I know his men, although David is the king. And then, of course, David got really angry. He didn't pray before. He got really angry and he's going to go and he was going to kill him. Who got wind of this? His wife, Abigail, the wise and virtuous woman. And what does she do? She goes and she takes a lot of gifts and food and presents to him behind her husband. And he goes and she goes and sends it with the servants ahead of her. So David sees all of this in his anger. He sees all of the gifts coming to him. And he begins to cool off a little bit. And he says, what's behind all this? Then Abigail comes and she prostrates herself before him, bows to him and calls him Lord. And then she says to him what? On me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. So she says what? On me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. So she says, count this iniquity or this sin on me. You know, they have a great nice expression in Arabic in our culture. Yani they say what? Ha'ak alayya. Right? Ha'ak alayya. Meaning what? Your debt be upon me. If somebody has offended you, your debt be upon me. This is a beautiful saying. And hopefully we say it and we mean it. And when we say the due would be on me. Because this, yani, this is a way of making peace. I will be willing to pay back this other person's debt. So this is the first thing. And then she says what? Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. How did Abigail sin against him, against David? No, on the contrary. She's the one making peace and giving him the food that he needs. But again, she considered the sin of her husband her own sin. Again, we look at this compassion and this empathy. She felt that her husband's sin was her sin. So she was able to reconcile and make peace. She was wisely able not only to spare her husband from death, but to transform David for his wrath into thanksgiving and praise. Humble yourselves and we can bring peace. Lastly, encourage and defend the person who is accused. And this is what we see with the story of the woman who was caught in adultery with the Lord. She was caught in adultery in sin. There was no questions asked. She was wrong. And then when they brought her to the Lord and asked him to judge, he bent down and wrote in the sand. And the fathers tell us he was writing the Ten Commandments. Two tablets. He bent down twice. Each time he wrote what was on each tablet. And as he was writing, the people who were going to stone her were reading these Ten Commandments. And they begin to look and think of themselves, okay, do not steal. Like, do not commit adultery, do not honor your father and mother, and all of these things. And they said, you know what? I'm guilty in one of these. And then he spoke to them, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. So they looked at this, and they all dropped their stone, and they left. Then he looked at the woman, and he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? And she turned and said, I don't see them. And and the Lord said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Look how he defended her and encouraged her. By defending her, he never justified that what she was doing, the wrong that she did, was right. He never justified that at all. The wrong is wrong and will always be wrong. But he defended those who were trying to judge her. Just like St. Macarius did with the woman who was caught in the monk's cell. He went and sat on top of the basket where she was hiding and asked the other monks to search. And of course, out of embarrassment, they didn't want to tell him to get up. So they didn't find anything, and he left. Then as he got down, he told the monk who had sinned to repent. And by covering their sin, he saved both the woman and this monk. So oftentimes, we have to cover for each other, but not justify the sin. So we said some of the methods to become agents of peace. We said number one, it must start with prayer. Number two, we have to take the first step. Number three is don't look at the sinner as an evil person, but as someone who has been overtaken. Number four is consider your own self and your own sins. Number five is restore with gentleness. Number six is humble yourself. And lastly, number seven and courage and defend them. May God grant us to be agents of peace and peacemakers in the world. For as you and I know, this is something that the world desperately needs. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.